This morning, I want to talk to you about two trees. Two trees. One of the trees is in the Old Testament. One of the trees is in the New Testament. Probably the most famous tree in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is the most famous tree. Not probably, but the most famous tree in the Old Testament and the most famous tree in the New Testament. Adam read the tree from the Old Testament that I want to talk about. It was a tree in the center of the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree that I want to talk about in the New Testament, some might say, well, the most famous tree in the New Testament is the tree that Zacchaeus climbed up when Jesus came to see him. And that is a famous tree, but not the most famous tree. And the tree I want to talk about this morning, you might not even think of as a tree, but the Bible refers to it as a tree, and that's the tree of Calvary, the tree, the cross that our Lord was crucified on. It says in Acts chapter 5, verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree. Of course, if you read, study the Bible at all, you know that the book of Genesis is a book not only of history as to what happened as the world was started and as God chose his people, but the book of Genesis is also a book of beginnings. It teaches us a lot in pictures about God's plan for us. And you can learn things from those pictures by comparison and contrast. And so this morning I want to take the tree that we read about in Genesis chapter 2. I want to compare it to the tree that we read about, the cross, in the four Gospels. And I want us to learn some things by looking at six differences and four similarities. You say, preacher, you got 10 points this morning? Yes, I do. And each one of them have a couple of sub-points. And I'm so glad that Nick is sitting up here and spitting distance because he can get them all. If he, you know, sometimes Nick works, he's working so much overtime, sometimes his eyes close. And I don't know if he's meditating or sleeping, but he's close enough now I can hear him. And he's close enough I can go over there and knock him on the head if I think he's sleeping. So, but I want to share with you about these two trees. First of all, I want to look at the six ways that they are different. Number one, the first tree was planted by God. The second tree was planted by man. That tree in the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was not planted by Adam. It was planted by Adam's creator. It was put in the garden as a test, and we're going to talk about that test in just a moment. But that first tree was planted by God. The second tree was planted by man. It was planned by God. He had planned it before the foundations of the world. We had a Savior that in God's mind was crucified before he made the first man, Adam, in the Garden of Eden. But that second tree was planted by man. Because it was Roman soldiers that took our Savior and nailed him to that cross. It was Roman soldiers that lifted that cross up and let it fall into the ground. And they planted dirt and rocks around it to hold it up upright. And now on that tree, our Savior hang as he shed his blood and as his body was broken for us. The first tree planted by God. The second tree planted by man. Number two, the first tree was pleasant to the eyes. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. I don't know what kind of tree it was. Some people think it was an apple tree. I have no idea if it was an apple tree or not. But there was something about that tree that when Eve looked at it, made her desire it. Now, I know we're going to talk about in a minute. The devil tempted her to eat it, telling her that it would make her wise. But the Bible says there was something about how that tree looked, about its appearance, that was pleasing to the eye and added to Eve's desire to eat of the fruit. The second tree, the tree of Calvary, was hideous to look at. The Bible says in the Gospels that when men came to the cross upon which Jesus hung and they looked at that cross and saw him hanging there, that they hid their eyes. They couldn't stand to look at it. They couldn't stand to see the suffering that was going on that cross. The Bible says Jesus was beaten so much before he went to the cross that as you looked at him, you couldn't even tell it was a man. He was unrecognizable as a human being. And as they looked at that cross, they heard the vulgar crowd as it stood around the foot of the cross and hurl taunts in the face of the Savior. Hey, you saved others, save yourself. You raised others from the dead. You should have enough power to come down from the cross. It's at the foot of that cross stood the hypocritical religious leaders who, because of their jealousy and envy, sent Jesus to the cross. On either side, a thief. A thief on the right, a thief on the left. And at the beginning, they also taunted him. And some people, when they have pictures of what they think the crucifixion looked like. Sorry, guys. I got all sorts of signals this morning about turning my microphone on. I just remembered to do it. But people have pictures of the cross. And those pictures, everyone that I've seen, they don't portray what really happened at the cross. Because I have never seen a picture of the crucifixion that has the amount of blood in the picture that was on the cross. Just think about the pictures of the crucifixion you've seen. How much blood has been there? I want to tell you, when you think of the cross, you need to think of a bloody place. You need to think of one hanging on the cross that was bleeding from his hands, from his feet, from his face, from his head. There was blood all over the Savior. There was blood all over the cross. There was blood all over the ground. I thought about it this morning, Brother Leonard, when I shook one of the trays of the juice and I spilt juice all over the tray. I think Nick and Angie was the only ones that saw it because Leonard kept it in his hand. He didn't use it. And I saw that grape juice all over that tray of Trey, and I said, that's the way it was at the cross. We are saved today because the Savior shed his blood on Calvary. It wasn't a pretty sight. And those that came and saw the blood of our Savior on the cross and on his body and on the ground hid their faces. It wasn't pretty to look at like the first tree. Number three, God forbade man to eat of the first tree. He invites all to come and eat at the second tree. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, we read it, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. He told Adam and he told Eve, don't eat of the first tree, because you eat of that first tree, you're going to die. There's a punishment connected to it. But of the second tree, he said, hey, you all come. I want everybody to come to the second tree. I want you to eat of that second tree. In John chapter 6, the Bible says that, and Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said, this is my body, you got to eat it. This is my blood, you got to drink it. And he certainly wasn't talking about people actually eating his body and drinking his blood, but he was talking about the faith that people needed to put in the substitutionary death that Jesus suffered for us on Calvary. The faith that believed he was the Son of God, and that his body was broken and his blood was shed so that we could be made right with God. You see, you're here, if you're a sinner here this morning, you will not get right with God. You will not get your sins forgiven by being good or by joining a church, by taking the Lord's Supper or getting baptized. There's only one way to get right with God, only one way to get your sins forgiven. Jesus said, I am that way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And even though he told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, don't you eat of the first tree. Eat of the first tree. Yeah, there's a penalty connected with it. There's a punishment connected with it. But the second tree, he says to every single person, you come and you eat and you trust me and I'll make you right with my Father. Number four, because God forbade man to eat of the first tree, Satan did everything that he could to get man to eat it. And because God invites everybody to come and eat of the second tree, Satan does everything he can to make sure we don't. You know the story if you've read the book of Genesis, how one day Eve was out. She looked at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Satan came along. He said, hadn't God said you could eat of every tree in the garden? She said, well, yeah, we could eat of every tree in the garden except this one right here. Why can't you eat that one? Well, God said the day that we eat this one, we'll die. And Satan says, oh, that's not true. That's not what God meant. God knew that you ate of the tree. If you ate of the fruit of this tree, you would be wise like him. You would know the things that God would know. And even though God had set the penalty and the punishment for eating that tree, the penalty was death. And I know some people say, well, Adam and Eve didn't die. They ate of the fruit. They continued to live. Oh, but you're looking at it the wrong way. They died spiritually. And death is separation. And spiritual death is separation from our Creator. And when they ate of that fruit, they were separated from God because they were kicked out of the garden. And even though God had set the penalty for eating that fruit, Eve took of that fruit and ate and gave it to Adam. And just like Satan tempts her and encouraged her to eat of that fruit, he comes to every person today who God has invited to eat of the second tree. He has invited us to come and partake of his body and his blood. Again, not physically, as some people teach, that the juice turns into blood and the bread turns into his body. I don't believe that for a minute. It's not what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is that he had to pay the penalty for our sin. He had to be separated from God. He took our place on Calvary, and as he hung on Calvary, he was separated for the first time in all of eternity from God the Father. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And at that very moment, he suffered what every single one of us owe for sin. And God invites us to come and partake of that tree. And Satan comes to us today the same way he came to Eve. He says, oh, that's not exactly true. That's not exactly how God meant it. You can get saved other ways. You can get right with God other ways. Hey, if you're good enough, surely a God of love would not send a good person to hell. And I want to tell you this morning, there'll be a lot of good people in hell. Good people that have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Satan comes and says, well, hey, look, if you just join a church, if you get baptized and join a church, how can a loving God send a church member to hell? The same way he can send a good person to hell. It's not your church membership that makes you right with God any more than it is your good works or mine. We are saved by grace through faith and nothing that we can do on our own. And Satan will tell you, listen, if you're here today and you're not saved, I know where Satan is, or one of his demons. I know he's whispering in your ear this morning, don't listen to that preacher. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't. There's a different way. There's not only one way to heaven. And you don't have to worry about it today. You got plenty of time. If you think about it tomorrow. Think about it the next day. Think about it next week. He's going to tell you that today's a day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. He's going to tell you that you need to do it now. And Satan's going to say, don't believe him. Eve didn't listen or listened to Satan and was separated from God. And if you listen to Satan this morning and reject Jesus Christ, you will walk out of this place the same way you came in, separated from God. Satan will lie to you. He is the father of all liars. Don't believe him for a minute. He wants you to go to hell as much as Jesus wants you to go to heaven. Number five, the eating of the first tree brought sin and death. The eating of the second tree brings life and salvation. Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree they were forbidden to eat. God had told him, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And when Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, that's exactly what happened to them. Again, they did not die physically. They died spiritually. You go back and you read in Genesis chapter 3, he cast them out of the garden. He put angels at the entryway with flaming swords so they could not find their way back in. And they were separated from their Creator. They were separated from the fellowship that they were made to have with their Creator. Why? Because they ate of that first tree. Eating of the second tree brings life. John chapter 6, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And the disciples that were around Jesus that day, the Bible says it was a hard saying. They could not understand what he was talking about. They did not understand that he wasn't talking about eating his flesh physically and drinking his blood physically, but was talking about having the faith in what he was going to do on Calvary's cross. And Jesus promises to every person that has that faith, that puts their trust in a Savior who went to the cross to pay for their sins, he says, I will give you eternal life. I will give you salvation. I will make you right with God. Number 6, the thief that ate from the first tree was turned out of paradise. The thief that ate from the second tree got into paradise. You see, there were two thieves in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. God had said, don't touch this tree. It's mine. You can eat of all the rest of them, but not this one. Because you eat of this one, you're going to die. God was saying, that's mine. I believe even back in the Garden of Eden, he was teaching us about tithing. He was teaching us about tithing. He was teaching us there is something that belongs to God. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. And Adam and Eve, when they took the fruit of that tree, whatever it was, they were stealing from God. That stealing was sin. And because of that sin, they were kicked out of paradise, the Garden of Eden. Now let's fast forward about 5,000 years. Let's go to the second tree. Let's listen to one of the thieves that hung on the side of Jesus. He taunted him earlier in the day. He jeered him as his fellow thief did on the other side and as the crowd did. I'm sure he said, hey, you saved others, can't you save us? Save yourself and save us. But he watched as Jesus hung on the cross. He watched and listened to the words that Jesus said from the cross. And he said, as he looked over at the Savior, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Just remember me. When you come into your kingdom, I can tell they're not who they say you are. You are a king. He said, like the centurion would say a few hours later, you are the Son of God. Would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And you remember what Jesus said? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. The first thieves were kicked out of paradise. The second thief got into paradise because he ate of the tree. Those are the contrast. Let's quickly look at the way that they were similar. Both trees were in gardens. First tree was in the Garden of Eden. The second tree was in an unnamed garden. It says in John chapter 19, verse 41, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. You think about gardens as places of life. You think about gardens as places of growth and good places to be in. But these two gardens were both gardens of death. Adam and Eve died in the Garden of Eden the day they ate the fruit. Jesus died. The second Adam, as the Bible calls him, died in that garden in the cross. Number 2, as far as the similarities, both trees were in the midst of the garden. The Bible says the tree of knowledge of good and evil was in the midst of the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says they crucified and two others with him on either side and Jesus in the midst. I want to tell you, the central part of the Old Testament. And I know it's not in the middle of the Old Testament, but the central part of the Old Testament revolves around that tree in Genesis chapter 2. Because that's where sin came into the world. The Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men. The central truth of the Old Testament is that we're all sinners because we're all descendants of Adam. People learn into genealogies, and if they trace their line back far enough, we all end up at the same place. We all end up with Adam. And because he sinned, every single one of us is born with a sinful nature. And one day in every one of our lives, that sinful nature turns into a sinful act. We act on our nature and we break one of God's commandments. And that sinful act makes us a sinner. And the Bible, just like Jesus told Adam and Eve, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The second tree, although it's not in the middle of the New Testament, is a central part of the New Testament. The cross. The cross. In fact, that's the central part of the whole Bible. The cross. The cross. The first tree makes us all sinners. The second tree gives us a way of escape from the penalty of that sin. We're both in the midst. Number three, both are really trees of knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve's eyes were open and they knew they were naked. They knew they were sinners. And when we come to the second tree, when we come to the cross, and we see our Savior, our eyes are open and we realize how bad our sin really is. I know most of you here this morning are good people. You live good, decent lives. But in God's sight, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we need a Savior. You may be a good, clean, decent person this morning. Praise God for that. But you need a Savior because you're a sinner. Number four, both trees are really pleasant to the sight. The tree that Eve ate off, and whatever it was, I don't know, whatever it was pleasant to her. And we that know what Jesus have done for us, when we have the Lord's Supper, and when we look back on the cross, even though it was a place of suffering, and even though it was a place of agony, and even though he was beaten beyond recognition as a human being, and even though it was a place that was blood-drenched and blood-soaked, we come to that cross, and we accept the Savior who died on that cross. And we say, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm just a sinner, a dirty, rotten, vile sinner. But you loved me, and you died for me. Every single person here this morning has come to the first tree. You came with Adam, and you're a sinner. Many in this room have already come to the second tree, because you've come and asked Jesus to be your Savior. But there's probably some here this morning that haven't. You need to come to the second tree. You need to come to the one whose body was broken and whose blood was shed for you. Would you do that this morning? Would you just come and say, preacher, I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior, and this morning I want to get it right. I want to get right with God. I know I'm a sinner.
I believe you when you tell me there's a penalty for that sin and that Jesus paid for it. And this morning I receive it for myself. Would you do that? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making the gospel so clear, for making it so plain, for painting pictures of it way back in the book of Genesis and all throughout the Bible, and for making it so plain in the gospels that we're sinners. We need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. He died for us. Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that have never asked Christ to be their Savior. I pray they would come in the next few moments and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray, Father, if there's things in our life that shouldn't be, things that we need to get rid of because they're messing up our relationship. They're keeping us from serving you and being obedient. I pray, Father, that this morning we would come to this altar, we talk to you, and we get those things straight. Father, bless this time of invitation. Use it for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.